Blog Talk Radio.
Team Eneke is a professional Siberian Husky racing team located in Denver, Colorado and Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Robert Forto and his team are training for their first Iditarod run in 2013. Team Eneke is seeking corporate and individual sponsors. For more information, visit our website at teamineke.com. That's TEAMINEKA.com. Let's get back to the show. Must you Huskies? Gee-ha!
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto. You're listening to Must You Huskies, brought to you by Denver Dog Works and Team Eneke. I am here with my co-host and wife, Michelle. Michelle, how are you?
I'm glad to be back on Must You Huskies. It's been a little bit of time, but I've been busy with our camp dogs here at Denver Dog Works, and I'm looking forward to this great spring weather that we've been having down here.
You know, we're looking forward to the end of the Iditarod. Most likely it will end tomorrow, and we're going to get into that in just a second. But before everybody, before we get into that, I want to mention to everybody, starting tomorrow, you can find Must You Huskies on mushingradio.com. Mushingradio.com, that's going to be our new domain name, and that will be the spot for all of our podcasts and news and notes about Team Eneke.
That's wonderful news because, you know, I was wondering how lost we have become on Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to get up there. You know, we're now part of the Twine Group Radio Network. We're no longer part of WebNet Online Radio Network. We've branched out on our own a bit, and we're doing our own thing.
That's right, and hopefully someday it'll start bringing us in some money.
I hope so. So before we get into the leaderboard, let's talk about the race. As they're reporting, it will probably end sometime midday tomorrow, and it looks like the three-peat winner, Lance Mackey, is going for an unprecedented fourth Iditarod.
You know, and I think that that's fantastic. A lot of people don't understand what it takes to even win one, let alone four in a row. So whatever he's doing with his dogs, whatever his training strategy is, it seems to be working out just fine for Lance Mackey.
But, you know, the consensus on Facebook today is don't double your money yet on Lance. There's still a lot of race to be run, and people are still pulling for some of the top contenders with Jeff King and Hugh Neff and John Baker and Ken Anderson.
Also Hans Gatt. I don't know that much about him. But, you know, I'm looking for the future of mushing to be followed by fans just as much as it is like NASCAR.
Well, we'll have to see. Maybe by the time I get in that race, it will be more televised and more media attention. You know, it's a huge spectacle up in Alaska. Everybody knows what's going on with the Iditarod, but down here there is no reports at all in any of the local papers, and, of course, USA Today is not reporting on it at all.
Right. Well, you know, up there in Alaska or Anchorage, it seems to me from your stories and your circus-like atmosphere descriptions that it's much like Mardi Gras is down in New Orleans. And if I might be correcting myself, but New Orleans Mardi Gras doesn't get a lot of national exposure either.
You know, I agree. And I'm reading here on AlaskaDailyNews.com. I'm reading some of the talk about some of the mushers, and I have to read this. Our good friend Sebastian of Whitehorse, who plans on retiring this year, plans to go from mushing to sailing. So what do you think about that?
Well, I read that on his bio that he does sailing, I guess, as a hobby. But, you know, I can't think of a better way to clear your mind after a race like this, which has really nothing to do with your physical stamina. It has to do with your mental stamina. It has to do with the dog's physical stamina.
That's exactly right. Let's talk a little bit about Paul Gephardt. Paul Gephardt is also a former Iditarod runner, and he is out of the top 25 now, but his handler, rookie Christy Barrington, is just 10 spots behind him right now in, I guess, what is that, 35th place?
I think so. You know, and that's remarkable. As we've gone, you know, I met you 10 years ago, And I own Malamutes and didn't know a lot about the Iditarod other than the movie Iron Will, you know, if I can even admit that. But from what I understand, in the past decade, teams and team strategy racing has really become part of how this race is won and run. And not only the Iditarod, but all the races across northern United States and Canada, it seems to me like they're running teams now.
Yeah,
to NASCAR.
A lot of mushers do run B teams or yearling teams or puppy teams, whatever they want to call it, and typically that is their lead handler that runs that race.
So would you know how many of the dogs on King and Mackie team are their original dogs that they ran 4 or 5 years ago?
Quite a few. Most of the dogs in the top kennels are 5 to 6 years old. When I was talking to Hugh Neff, when I was up there, quite a few of his dogs have boatloads of miles on them. If I remember correctly, I think one of his dogs has something like 30,000 miles.
That's extraordinary. I know our dog Aneke, our namesake for Team Aneke, I know he's got up close to 6,000 miles on him, which is remarkable for a little sprint dog. But he ran for you, and he would run today if he could. He's just 12 years old, and he likes jumping off of that sixth step of our stairs. Instead, I'm noticing here that we have a father-son team still in the top 10. I think that that's pretty cool. The Seavey family. Tell us a little bit about the Seaveys. Their mushing history goes back to the 70s when Joe Reddington Sr. really started developing this race.
Well, that's exactly right. And the youngster of the family, Dallas, he won the halfway prize when he came in to Cripple. That's a big honor and a nice little purse that you get, $3,000 when you come first into Cripple. So that's a nice little thing, too.
He might be offended by being called the youngster since he does have a 12-year-old brother.
Well, he's 23 years old. So.
So, yeah, when you're over 30, we can call you a youngster.
You know, what is remarkable to me is the Scottish musher. His name is Waddy McDonald, and he looks like he's going to finish just fine. And, you know, what's interesting with him is his entire career has consisted of running dry land kart races before this. With Siberians, and then, of course, he went up to Anchorage and worked with Dean Osmar, who was the Iditarod champion in 1984. So everybody is cheering for McDonald. I remember when he came down 4th Avenue at the start, they were wearing kilts, and they had a huge Scottish flag, and that was the team to really watch, and what really caught my eye is all of the dogs had on plaid dog coats.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty cool how they're able to bring tradition to the forefront, and really that's, to me, what the Iditarod is about. The Iditarod is about the tradition of American pioneerism. I mean, who would have thought that we, as pioneers in Alaska, before it was a state, before it was even considered a territory, would have taken our dogs and ourselves almost to what we thought then was Russia, into Nome. What a way for us to discover.
That's exactly right. There's all kinds of history in this race, and that's one of the main reasons I want to run it. As I said all along, I doubt very seriously I'm going to win the race, at least not in the first few years, but I'm still a young pup.
First few years? Hold on a second. When did it change from you wanting to just finish one race? Now we're going to be doing more than one race?
Well, as people say, and as you know, once you're on the back of the sled once, you are hooked.
You are hooked, but I have no desire to run the Iditarod. I'd much rather be your cheerleader for you and the dogs.
There you go. So the top 10 in first place is Lance Mackey, and his last checkpoint is Elam, I believe is how you pronounce it. Michelle, can you pull up the map, please?
I think it's Elam.
Okay. Second place is Hans Gott. That is this year's Yukon Quest champion. In third place is Jeff King. Fourth place is Ken Anderson, and in fifth place is Hugh Neff. Sixth place is John Baker. Seventh place, as we speak, it is 5:50 Alaska time, 7:50 in the Mountain West. It is Mitch Seavey. In eighth place is Rami Smith. And quick story about Smith. He is the quote-unquote fastest Iditarod finisher in history. He has, I believe, the 7 top finishes in Iditarod history, and that's saying something. In 9th place is Sebastian, and 10th place is the younger C.V. Dallas. And in 11th place is the first woman musher in the field, Allie Zirkel. She is still doing very well in 11th place, and she has finished in the top 15 several times in her career as an Iditarod musher. In 19th place is former champion Rick Swenson, and in 22nd place is Dee Dee Jonro, who is going to have a respectable finish in about the middle of the pack.
Right, so from the map here, it shows that Lance Mackey actually was in and out of Elam at 12:51 Alaska time today. He came in with 12 dogs. He went out with 11. Jeff King came in at 2:50 Alaska time, went out at 4:30.
So he had a little bit more rest there. So
I'm sorry. Lance was in at 12:51 and out at 1:06. So it looks to me like he did a 20-minute pit stop and was out of there. King, on the other hand, looks like he stayed for about an hour and a half. He came in with 13 dogs and went out with 12. So it's really going to come down to one dog race.
We'll see how it goes. In 48th place, the Jamaican musher, Newton Marshall, is still hanging in there. And a couple of scratches. I don't think we mentioned last night, number 8, the most famed family in Iditarod history, Ryan Reddington, has dropped out of the race. His last checkpoint was Galena.
Does it mention why?
Not on the leaderboard. I'm sure we could read through the news and notes and find out why, but he has dropped out of the race. So I'm looking for the Colorado connection here. I do not see him, but instead of taking up time here, I'll just go ahead and pass that. But there is a Colorado connection. Here he is, Leechin Clark. He is in 42nd place, and his last checkpoint was Caltag. But it looks like he will finish as well, as long as everything stays on course. Now, we've got to remember, once the leaders are in sometime tomorrow, a lot of these guys at the end of the pack will take several more days to follow in and cross into Nome.
Right. And you know, what awaits them as they cross into Nome?
What's that?
What awaits them as they cross into Nome? I mean, a lot of people want to know, what's the big prize? Typically, it's a Dodge pickup truck and some money. But, you know, I don't think that these guys are necessarily in it for the money. With Lance, I believe that he's in it to just break the record books.
I think so. And he wants that four-peat, and that will be hard to break. It 4 consecutive Iditarod championship. So we'll see what happens.
I'm just happy to say that the Cat in the Hat is making it in the top 10, and I'm really proud of Hugh. He's having a good season.
He is having a good season, and he has several races to go this year, and I'm going to do my best. I talked to him before he left about getting him on this show sometime probably this week, if all is possible. I know it's really hectic up there in Nome.
I think he's going to want to choose to sleep before he does our
lowly
little radio show.
We'll give him a few days, but we'll have him on probably on our regular time slot. We're going to go back to our biweekly schedule starting after the 21st. We'll be biweekly every Saturday morning at, I believe it is 11 a.m., so we'll keep you guys posted. Remember, it's mushingradio.com. Michelle, anything you want to add before we close?
You know, I'd like to see people send us some emails, ask us some questions, learn more about this sport. It is the last great race of our country that has little or nothing to do with commercialism. If this race is going to make it in the next decade, it's going to take commercialism and sponsorship to keep it alive.
That's exactly right. And now let me just clarify there. There are quite a few huge corporate sponsors, Wells Fargo and others, but it's not nearly the point.
It's not NASCAR in the commercialism of this race yet. And I'd like to seriously see either ski joring or another dog-powered type sport enter into the Olympics in the next decade?
Well, you know, Denver is thinking about bidding for it in 2022. It looks like Governor Ritter, on one of his last hoorahs, leaving office this year as a lame duck governor, is thinking about signing that into as a proposal or whatever it's called to seek out the Olympics in Colorado in 2022.
Well, that would be fabulous. So let's get to training as many people as we can to ski jour, because I think that if mushing and dog sledding can't make it, I don't see why ski jouring can't. You know, that cross-country skiing takes a lot out of a person, but quite frankly, it's boring as all get out to watch.
Well, maybe that will be our platform. 2022, if it does come back to Denver, maybe we can spearhead some type of project to see if we can get at least skijoring in the Olympics. That would be something interesting. And, hey, we've got 12 years to work on it.
Great. I don't even want to know how old I'm going to be.
Well, I will be 51. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Still a young pup. So
I won't be over 25.
There you go. So you are listening to Mush U Huskies, part of the Twine Group Radio Network, brought to you by Denver Dog Works. As I said at the beginning of the show, mushingradio.com. That's where you can find us starting tomorrow afternoon. Make sure you bookmark that in your browser. As I say always, we'll see you on the trail. Never forget your dreams. Until tomorrow, goodbye.